Thank you, Dwayne, and thank you all very much for being here this morning. And isn't it a wonderful thing to think about the new year that lies before you and I? And it is approaching very rapidly. It is on the horizon. And when we think about God's amazing grace, I hope that if you're not a Christian, that you would avail yourself to the wonderful and marvelous grace that has appeared according to the book of Titus, chapter 2, and verse 12. It's good to have Brother Hardy and his wife Kathy in our audience today. We, too, have known them for a long, long time. And he used to work with the Lord's Church here in Palestine, and now in a new dimension of ministry. And certainly we commend you for that, and we pray that God's blessings will abound upon you as you continue to teach and preach the Word of Almighty God. You know, when you think about time, and time is so fleeting, isn't it? Benjamin Franklin once said that time is the thing that life is made of, and it is. It is here for a while, and then it's quickly gone. It's almost hard for us to conceive, I don't know about you, but it is for me, to believe that the year 2025 is almost history. I remember when I stood before you a year ago and I thought to myself, and I even said it, that time will pass us by and before you know it, the year 2026 will be here. And it is approaching fast. And if you're not a Christian, let me challenge you this morning to give your time unto God. Time is such a precious commodity. You know, God is eternal. He is not regulated by time at all. For in the book of Psalms chapter 90, the Bible says to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And the days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet there is strength, there is labor and sorrow, and it is cut off, is quickly gone, and then we fly away. You know, Christ spoke and really addressed the subject of time numerous times in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and certainly woven throughout the book of Acts all the way down to the book of Revelation, is how we ought to spend our time, how we use our time, and time is something that you spend. You know, when you give someone a part of your life, you're giving them your time, or vice versa. When you say, well, you know, what would you like for Christmas, or what would you like for me to get you? Most people would say, give me your time. You see, because when you really give a person time, you're listening, you're patient, you are doing everything within your power to make that other individual feel comfortable about the relationship that he has with you. Many, many years ago, 2,000 years ago, as a matter of fact, and we had the opportunity just a moment ago to observe this great feast that Jesus instituted that we call the Lord's Supper. Prior to that, however, in the book of Acts, Matthew 26, rather, beginning in verse 36 through 41, we know that Jesus had actually gone to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the account is given there, and the word says, then cometh Jesus to them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto them, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and began to be very, very heavy within his heart. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then he went a little bit further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me but 1 hour, just 1 hour? Consider that, if you will. How much of your life do you give to God? How many hours of your existence upon this earth will it be said that you gave to your God who is in heaven? You know, I dare say that many of us give little time unto God. We are so wrapped up in so many things in the world. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be a humanitarian. I'm not saying it's wrong for people to be involved in other organizations. But how much of your time do you give to God? How much of your time do you give to the Lord's church? Sometimes it is very little. And when I think about God in time, there's so many things that come to my mind. What is the relationship between God and time? Well, we've already established the fact that God is eternal in the heavens. He is the everlasting God, has always been, and will always be. And He is not, as I said, governed or bound by time at all. Time is a man-made thing. But it was man-made simply to help us understand the value of our life. That's the way we measure life, isn't it? It is. In Isaiah 40 and verse 28, he declared that God, Isaiah did, that God is an everlasting God. He will never leave you nor me. There is a word in the Hebrew language that's called El Olam. And it actually means the everlasting God. That is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 21. And then Isaiah 40 and verse 28, he says, "Have you not known, and have you not heard, that the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and he does not faint or nor does he grow weary? His understanding, why, it's unsearchable." That's the God that we have come this morning to worship. You and I are in this assembly this morning for that purpose of glorifying God and worshiping Him. Because we read in the book of John, the 4th chapter and verse 24, that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. For such doth the Father seek. He is still seeking for men to worship Him. God's time is that which really matters, however, even though He is eternal, not governed by time. God's time, why, you know what? That's the thing that really matters, not our time. Listen to what Christ again said. "Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" Sometimes I think about people that come to worship. And I think about people that do not come to worship. And I would like to ask the ones that do not come to worship, "Could you not watch with me and the church for 1 hour as we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?" Matthew 26 and verse 40. And I want you to think with me a little bit deeper into this question that Jesus asked. He didn't ask for a day. He just asked for an hour. He said, "Could you not watch with me but 1 hour?" Sometimes I wonder if God is not saying that to those that do not assemble with the saints on the Lord's Day. "Could you not come together and worship with the church on the Lord's Day just 1 hour?" 1 hour. You see, an hour helps us understand the brevity of life and the brief nature of the human race and human life. Just 1 hour. Isn't it amazing how quickly it passes us by? It goes by so quick. You know, sometimes as young people, you begin to think, well, you know, I've got a lot of life ahead of me, but do you really? I have spoken at memorial services for young people that were killed in automobile accidents. I have preached the funeral for young babies stillborn. I have preached the funeral for young children aged 3 in this congregation. And I have preached funerals for people that lived to be 105 years old. Isn't that amazing? Mr. Jesse Krause. It is amazing. When I think about time with the Lord, I'm reminded of 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In Psalms chapter 90, the days of our years are 70. That's 70, folks. When you stack our time up against the backdrop of eternity, time is very little when you think about it. Again, how much time are you spending with the Lord? How much time do you give God, really? You say, well, I come to church on Sunday. I mean, after all, how much does God want? He wants it all. He wants it all. Sometimes we're so prone to give minimum. We give minimum in the church. We give minimum of our money, minimum of our time, minimum of our talents and our energies, and yet we waste it on so many things. In the book of Ecclesiastes 12, one of the wisest men who ever lived, King Solomon, would pen these words: remember your Creator while you are young. Before the bad times come, before the years come, when you will say, I have wasted my life. Remember your Creator while you are young. And remember, the time comes when the sun and the moon and the stars become dark unto you. All of what he's saying here is analogous of our life, that through our eyes we'll not be able to see as we once did. And he says, before problems come again and again, like one storm right after another. And at that time, your arms will lose their strength, and your legs will become weak and bent, and your teeth will fall out, and you will not be able to chew your food. Your eyes will not see clearly. You will become hard of hearing. Anybody in here hard of hearing? Can't see as well as you used to. Even the stone grinding your grain will seem quiet unto you. You will not be able to hear the women singing. But even the sound of a bird singing will wake you up early in the morning, because you will not be able to sleep. Anybody in here find it hard to go to sleep? He says, you will be afraid of high places. Well, it didn't bother you at one time. You will be afraid of tripping over every small thing that is in your path. Your hair will become white like the flowers of an almond tree, and will drag yourself along like a grasshopper when you walk. You will lose your desire, and then you will go to your eternal home. And the mourners will go about the streets as they carry your body over to the grave. So Solomon gives a very vivid picture of what life is like. Remember your Creator while you are young, before that silver rope snaps and the golden bow is crushed, like a jar broken at the well. Like a stone cover over a well that breaks and falls in. Your body came from the earth, and when you die, it will return to the earth. But your spirit came from God, and when you die, it will return unto Him. You know, when I think about the good Lord in heaven, sometimes I wonder why God makes us wait for certain things. Time. Sometimes we are so busy in life doing so many things that we don't take time to spend with God. When was the last time you got alone just by yourself in deep communion with God? And you prayed unto God about certain things. When was the last time you did that? Have you ever done it? I will tell you, God's timing is not our timing. But secondly, he asked another question. could you not watch? Not someone else, but could you not watch? We are to watch. Oh, everybody is. But you can't look at someone else and say, well, you watch for me. No, we have to watch for ourselves. And when they were in the garden, they were sleeping instead of watching. And in reality, we have to watch for the lost, don't we? That's one thing God teaches us to do, is to watch for the lost. He said, I've come to seek and to save them that are lost, Luke 19. He said, my mission is to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. And it could very well be that we are to watch for wayward Christians that need to come back home to God, Luke chapter 15, like the prodigal son who went away to the foreign country and spent his father's money, his own inheritance. And he came back home. He left home saying, make me. Now, when you go back to his life, you see the sadness of one who think he has the answer to life and living. We watch for the Lord's return. He's coming again. But the book of Revelation chapter 8 and verse 1 says, Christ said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is to give to every man according as their work shall be. And then I read the book of 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 8, and I'm acutely aware again of watching for the Lord's return. Listen to what he says. Paul writes, but of the times and of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light. In other words, you're all Christians and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and let us be sober. And that's what Christ was asking those apostles. Could you not watch with me but 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Again, how much time do you give to God? For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken into the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, he says, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of our salvation. But notice again the question. I go back to the question that's so probably one of the most important questions our Lord ever asked. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch with Jesus. You ever thought about it? We commune with the Lord on Sunday, but do you watch with him at any other hour or any other time? You know, there are a lot of things that we cannot share with the Lord. I understand that. The struggles he faced while he was here upon this earth. I can experience that. Not according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and following. And then I'm reminded of the anguish of his death. If you saw those PowerPoint slides a moment ago that really depicted what the crucifixion was really all about and the scourging and the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have a deeper appreciation for what he went through. But we couldn't help him. And we're all the time asking him to help us. But we could not help him. And the hurt of our sin was upon him, as Hebrews 6 says. And the book of Isaiah 53 says that our sin was heavy upon him, and we esteemed him smitten and stricken of God. But there are some things we can share with our Lord. And I want to talk to you a little bit about how to make spending time with God a priority in your life. You know, I've never understood why people want to go to heaven when they don't want to be with the Lord here on earth. I don't. A lot of people could care less about darkening the door at the church building. A lot of people have no desire to be in the presence of God here upon this earth. And yet we sing about how we want to go and be with God. Oh, I just can't wait to get to heaven. I judge that as hypocritical. We can share his work. For the book of 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 through chapter 6, verse 2, talks about the work of God that can be shared by us. Listen to what Christ said in John 9 and verse 4. I must do the works of him that sent me as long as it is day, for the night will come when no one can work. Time will be over. And time will be ushered into eternal things. And from now on, we will not be governed by time, but we will be governed by the eternal things of God. We can mind spiritual things. How many spiritual things do you mind? How many spiritual things in your life do you mind? Might be good for you to make an evaluation of that. How often you pray? How often you read the Bible? Which so few do today. Colossians 3, verse 1 through 4 says, "And if you then be risen with Christ," listen to this, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And set your affections upon things that are above, and not that are on the things of this earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." You know why I know that's true? Paul says it here. But the Bible also teaches us that when Christ comes again, he will be coming with the sainted dead. That's what he says. The sainted dead, those that have gone before, will be ushered along with Jesus to receive the church, which is the body, not to set up a kingdom here upon this earth, but to glorify the church of the living God. We can share our struggles with our Lord, and there are many of them. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and following. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." You see what he's saying? He is saying what I mentioned a moment ago, that we can share our struggles with God because he is touched by our infirmities. And he feels our infirmities with no sin. We can share our souls. You see, the soul, we sing that song, "Where the soul never dies." You know, the spirit of man lives within him. Your body's just a temple. It's just a temple of clay. And it will eventually deteriorate. But the real you will emerge from that body. That's what James says. He says that spirit will emerge from the body, and the spirit will go back to God who gave it, and the body will go back to the dust of the ground from whence it is no longer. But we can share our souls. Paul told Timothy that in 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And Jesus says, couldn't you watch 1 hour? Can we watch with the Lord 1 small hour? Think about how little that amount of time is. Just 1 hour. Sitting with people that have struggles. Sitting with people that are sick and in the hospital. Even coming to a funeral. You know, people don't even attend funerals much anymore of our brethren. We've got other things to do. We got a ball game we need to go to. I have other plans. And so we neglect the brethren. We neglect bleeding hearts who struggle. You know, I've discovered in my years of ministry that the reason some have time and others don't is because those that have time make time. They make time. Someone said, weak men wait for opportunities, but strong men create opportunities. One of the best gifts you can give yourself is to give yourself time with God. Time with our Lord. And if you find yourself a bit irritated or overwhelmed, it is a sign that you are spending less time with God and more time with this world. The time will come when they will say that the traveler has reached the end of his journey. The journey for David Carter ended this morning. And the journey for you may be next. It may be on the way out. I hope that you're journeying with Jesus. In Matthew 4:19, Christ says, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I challenge you this morning, if you're not a Christian, to begin a new journey with us right here at the Crockett Road Church of Christ. And it really begins in this baptistry up here. Well, it doesn't begin when you walk down the aisle. And you know what? It really doesn't even begin when you say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. But the journey will begin again when one is born again of the water and the Spirit. The journey with Jesus. But if you're not willing to give him 1 hour, you won't give him your life. And that's a sad thing to me. Christ gave his all, would you give yours while we stand and while we sing?